It's Friday, December 8th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Well, it's been a very, very long day here in Honolulu. We'll talk about it in a few minutes, but strap in. Got a great show for you tonight. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, hey, for all of you that are long-term subscribers, hey, thanks for being part of the HANA, being part of the family here. And of course, we're so glad that you're staying subscribed. And of course, for those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the content over there. And of course, you can find all of the older podcasts via the podcast link on the website. Sign up for our newsletter so you get our show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Well, how's everyone? Are you ready for the weekend? Well, I tell you, I'm ready for bed, and I'll tell you why. Living here on historic Ford Island, every December 7th, there's obviously all kinds of ceremonies that take place because of the attack on Pearl Harbor, and it just goes, you know, it's quite the event. And because Ford Island is actually a small island disconnected from Oahu, we are separated by about a mile of water, maybe three quarters of a mile of water at the longest distance. There's a bridge. And when they made this bridge, they made it in such a way that a section of it can drop down and then they can pull it back and it would allow a ship to go through. So every year they open the bridge one time, and it's on December 7th so that they can have usually a Navy destroyer go through the bridge area, come around, and they do a pass and review in front of the Arizona Memorial as part of the ceremony. So we all got notice about a week ago, of course, that this was going to go down, and generally they start opening the bridge about 5:30, but for some reason, this year, they said, if you're not off the island by 4:15, you are not getting off until about 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, I have to be at work at 7, so I got my booty out of bed at about 3. Oh, that was just so painful. Got my shower, read some email, grabbed my laptop, grabbed my bag, and out the door I went, and as I was driving through, they had security was already out there, and as I was driving through the roundabout that leads into the bridge entrance, security was there getting ready to drop the cones down, and I was actually the last car out. And so, you know, what are you going to do? It's, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and so what do? You just do like everyone else is. You go for breakfast. So I went for breakfast at 4 o'clock in the morning at a local restaurant. And that took a whole 30 minutes, and then I drove to work, and the building I'm in is was locked up, so I had to wait until about 6. Of course, I tried to take a little bit of a snooze in the car while they were, you know, until it was 6 o'clock when the building would open up, and of course, that just didn't seem to work out. So I've had a very full day. It's about 10 p.m. here in Honolulu, so I have got a Red Bull in me. I've got a glass of iced tea. So if I'm a little punchy, you'll know why tonight. But I do want to, I got a couple things to go over real quick. One thing I just do want to say is that I owe someone a gift certificate, a $50 gift certificate. I'm digging through the emails. There's been like two email exchanges. It's the guy that won the MP3 player, and I still need to figure out what we're going to do there. If he wants the MP3 player that I've got here, or if I need to send him the full $150 for the award amount that I was going to give away. Otherwise, I got a $50 gift certificate and an MP3 player here to send off. If he wants that, please re-email me. I'm going to look back through my emails again tomorrow, and it's in there somewhere. I just can't find it. And I thought I had it flagged, but Just go par for the course. But I do want to give away some that podcasting gear right now. And I tell you, y'all made it very, very, very difficult. And it took me a while to get through these. I looked at all the applications very, very closely and tried to determine who had the most original idea and who had a what I felt would be a show that would have the best chances of really succeeding and really growing. Now, there was like five of you that really stood out in my mind. And all the entries were great. And I wish I had some sort of a sponsor here that would sponsor me to give away a podcast rig every month. But that is not the case. And so what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to give a podcasting rig to Samantha Williams. Now, she has asked in her email that I keep her information confidential on what the show is going to be. But what she's going to get, she's going to get a Behringer mixer. She's going to get a Behringer compressor gate limiter filter that I have. It's a box that I have. She's going to get a MXL microphone. What else have I got that she's going to get? So cables and everything to do that to get it out. So she's going to have the basic components to be able to start a podcast with the relatively maybe total value on all that with the Behringer mixer, the microphone, maybe $150, $160, something like that. But it's my pleasure to get that box. Actually, it's boxed up. So that I'm smart now. Because I've been negligent in the past about getting stuff out quickly. So I've got it all boxed up. Samantha, send me your mailing address, and I will plead with my wife to take it to the post office and get it shipped out. Now, what I do want to do is I want to give away some consolation prizes, and we haven't gave away any money in the last two or three shows, and that was for a specific reason, because I knew we had all these other podcast people that wanted to create podcasts. We're, you know, sitting on the fence, but, we're going to give a $50 gift certificate to, Wes Metcalf, Gary Foster, and John Berger. So all three of you definitely send me, I've got your emails. I'll be emailing you as well. So each of you are going to get a $50 gift certificate each from GoDaddy. And I appreciate that. Appreciate your, submissions as well. I'm sorry I can't do something for everyone. You know, we had a lot of entries. I do want to appreciate everyone's participation in that. All right. I did announce on the website the people that won the Dragon Naturally Speaking software. So there was two people that got hooked up with that. Now let me go over there and see if I can actually read the names. Actually, I put their first names on the website. I didn't put their last names to kind of protect their identity, I guess. And this actually, let's see, okay, it was Jamie and Shala. Now, they both already responded. I've sent off their contact info to the company that's going to be shipping out the software. So congrats to those two winners for that stuff. And I've got another copy of Dragon Naturally Speaking here that I'm going to give away, probably give it away on the next show. Still got a Zune to give away before Christmas. So that stuff is still forthcoming. And next couple of winners, maybe we're going to go from the mailing list. So if you're not signed up for the mailing list, make sure you do so. And of course, that's via the second column of the website. And it's just, you know, it's an email blast to you. You don't get nothing else that comes through it. Just stuff for me, a couple of emails a week with the show notes. All right, let me look here. I've got the stuff for Samantha. Got that covered. Got that. Got done. Of course, I want to play a little bit for you. I think it's important, considering today is a pretty historic day here, and some of you may have heard this before. This is about 5 minutes, and I think it's important, though. Check this out.
The World Today. By shortwave radio, Columbia now brings you reports from its foreign correspondents overseas with summaries of the latest world news presented over these stations by Golden Eagle Gasoline. Go ahead, New York.
The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu.
Go ahead, Honolulu. The island of Oahu in the Pacific, one of the most thickly populated islands of the Hawaiian group, was attacked by Japanese planes this morning, starting at about 8 o'clock. No one would believe when reports emanated from the two radio stations here that the islands had been attacked. But when bombs began falling in various parts of the city and in different army and navy posts and bases, people knew Japan was endeavoring to eradicate America's outpost in the Pacific. Now, here's a report that I've gathered from different reporters of the Honolulu Advertiser who've been out endeavoring to get information concerning the Japanese air attack on the island of Oahu in the Hawaiian Islands. The first information in Honolulu that planes of Japan were attacking the islands was about 8 o'clock this morning, Hawaiian time. The first group of Japanese airplanes attacked Ford Island at Pearl Harbor, the Navy's mighty fortress in the islands. Roy Batusik, a local attorney, was up in his private plane flying over Cocoa Head when he said one or two Japanese planes gave him a salute of machine gun bullets as they approached the city. The plane was slightly damaged, and Mr. Batusik made a landing. After machine gunning Ford Island, the first Japanese planes moved to Hickam Field. Observers said considerable damage was done to planes and to Hickam Field. There is great activity there now in clearing the field of debris. At Pearl Harbor, where is based the Pacific Fleet, three ships were attacked. The Oklahoma was set afire. All lines of communication seem to be down between the various Army posts and Navy airdromes and Army airfields. There has been no statement made by the Navy. The Army has issued orders for all people, the civilian population, to remain off the streets. The first raiders carried torpedoes and did their damage to shipping in Pearl Harbor and off Honolulu. Everyone here in the islands were taken by surprise by the attack, and even yet it's difficult for some people to believe that an air raid on these beautiful islands has actually happened and that lives have been lost. Several planes have been shot down, and anti-aircraft gunnery is very heavy. It is thought that the planes came from the south in the direction of the island of Kauai. After the attack on Pearl Harbor, Hickam Field and Wheeler Field, several squadrons of Japanese planes came in from the south over Diamond Head, dropping bombs and incendiary bombs over the city. One bomb dropped in front of the governor's mansion at Washington Place and killed one man. Another dropped by the Honolulu Advertiser, nearly hitting several people and almost reaching its mark. At Pacific Heights and Dowsett Highlands, beautiful residential districts, there was heavy bombing. One woman was killed in Dowsett Highlands. The governor has proclaimed a state of emergency. Traffic is almost at a standstill in parts of the city. However, the traffic to and from Waikiki seems to be normal. When Japanese planes appeared over Waikiki, there were many people out in the streets and watched the bombing there. One man at Waikiki was badly injured when a bomb dropped in the heart of that beach resort. The Japanese planes seem to have come over the city and the environs with no intimation whatsoever that these were Japanese planes. And it was very difficult for people here to believe that these were Japanese planes. Here's a report that just came from Hickam Field. There were 350 men killed in a direct bomb hit on the barracks at Hickam Field. Then at Bellows Field, on the other side of the island, on the windward side of the islands, the field was bombed very heavily. That's all the news from Honolulu now. We'll be back with more news at a later time. This is KGU in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Now, I'm sure some of you may have heard that before, but, you know, it's pretty close to home here. You know, my house is quite literally, distance-wise, I think it's probably 250 feet or so that we're away from where the actual Utah rest. You know, it's one of the... There's a small memorial there, but a lot of people don't even recognize it. Arizona is, of course, the big attraction. But, yeah, anyway, you know, those of you that have been an audience of this podcast for a while, you know we've talked about Ford Island a little bit. A lot of history here. And so today is, you know, brings that home really close. So I thought I'd share that with you. I hope you enjoyed it. A little bit departure from the norm. And I had found that. I thought, well, let's go ahead and slip that in. I hadn't done that on any previous December 7th shows, and I wanted to do that. But we are all cranked up for the Saturday roundtable and got some great presentations, lots of cool stuff we found that should be underneath your Christmas tree, or you wish it would be under your Christmas tree, along with some links to some sites that we think that are going to help you make a better blogger, podcaster, etc. through the new year. So we want to make sure you join us on Saturday. We're going to give away around $600 in prizes. So you have to be present to win. If you're not there, well, you're not going to be eligible. So we're going to break it up into, I guess, 5 or 6 prizes. So look forward to seeing you all on Saturday for that event. But these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with family or friends, email and voicemail sometimes just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and or friends. It's a versatile tool. The ability to host online meetings is an absolute must for today's business. With GoToMeeting.com, it's just like you're all in the same room. Unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a sponsor of the roundtable. And of course, here at I almost said techpodcast.com at Geek News Central, but you know, vice versa. Let's see here. What have I got lined up for you tonight? A little bit on the show. I've got some stuff about NASA. I'm going to talk a little bit about the CNET journalist. Sad news on that. Got a little bit of information on the MPAA. We're going to be talking a little bit about dig cheaters. We're going to talk about the RIAA. I've got some stuff in here on Vista for you. Got a little bit info from some information from Yahoo 360. What else have we got going on? Got some RSS information off of from Microsoft. So I've got a pretty good show lined up for you as far as content goes. Some stuff I've dug out today. And before we go there, of course, I always want to make sure you save money. So keep your personal information away from spammers, hackers, and crazy ex-roommates. Private domain registrations from GoDaddy.com protects your privacy by keeping your address, phone numbers, and more out of the public database. Of course, you can get .com names, web hosting accounts, you name it. They've got it all when it comes to web-based stuff at GoDaddy.com. When you're over there and you get ready to check out, enter the code Todd, T-O-D-D, and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. And I think I've got a little bit, I think it's just because I've been up all day, I think I got a little bit of a sore throat started. So we'll see how long I last tonight. All right. The shuttle did not get off the ground today. Bad weather kept it earthbound, so looks like they're going to try again on Saturday. So we'll see what happens there. Weather is a factor. They're still worried about it, and they say it maybe is next week Tuesday when it would look like they'd have a possible chance to get it off, but they are going to try again on Saturday. So look forward to that. A little bit of information off of a lot of space news today. We'll be covering some more space news, but one thing that was being reported on BBC is that there's some new images have been released of past and present U.S. landing craft on the surface of Mars taken by the NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, the MRO. They've got pictures of the Spirit landing site, Viking 1 site, Viking 2, all kinds of cool stuff that they're now trying to look at to determine essentially more information about those landing sites. Obviously, they've got ground visuals on many of the sites, but they're getting some more perspective from space. So it's kind of interesting to see what they're doing there. But kind of gives you some perspective on the size of those landing sites and the actual pictures that they show within the actual sites over on NASA. Okay, Hewlett-Packard settled today a civil lawsuit for spying on people using very questionable techniques. So Hewlett-Packard agreed to a $14.5 million settlement in a California civil lawsuit. So I guess under the terms of settlement with the California Attorney General, HP is going to pay $13.5 million to create a privacy and piracy fund for law enforcement activities. And the company is also going to pay $650,000 civil penalties and $350,000 to cover expenses of the investigation. So I think they should have gotten charged or, you know, should have had to pay a lot more money. But nothing like getting a company's attention and having to pay out of their pocketbook. Now, I'm sure many of you that have been watching the tech news have heard the distressing news of a CNET journalist, James Kim, who was found dead. His wife and daughters were rescued on Monday, but in his attempt to hike out from the location that they were stranded at in Oregon, he made it, I guess around 7 miles from the location. And from everything I'm reading and seeing on discussion on this, he did a historic attempt to try to get out. But sadly, it's ended in a tragedy. Of course, my heart goes out to his family and his wife and children. There was one of the listeners of the actually another podcaster had dropped me an email and wondering if there was any sort of a fund that had been set up for the family. Now, I don't necessarily. I think if there is, if someone knows about a fund, let us know, will you? Because I'm sure that this family is going to have some expenses. And, of course, with two young children, maybe the tech community can reach out and help out a little bit. But a very sad thing has happened there. And if you haven't read about that, obviously you have not been online, because this has been on almost every blog, technical blog, and covered on a variety of different podcasts as well. But I'll have a link up to the story over at digitaltrends.com. I have a link to that in the show notes. All right, looks like the Senate might be getting on the action of trying to put a bill together that is going to make pretexting definitely illegal. Now, there has not been any review yet by any competent authority to determine how effective this bill is. So I was looking for some information on the Electronic Frontier Foundation today to see if they had reviewed it and to see what the language would look like. But they're saying the legislation does say that anyone who purchases, sells, or tries to obtain confidential phone records could face up to a decade behind bars. Of course, they're saying that police and intelligence agencies would be exempt. And I'm sure that's with as long as they have the correct paperwork from a judge. So it's very interesting to see what's happening here, and we'll see if it gets bottlenecked, if it gets through before the 109th Congress close out its session at the end of the year. But it's glad to see that they're looking at this at least. And after the watered down version that was passed in California, I think a national bill is probably needed. So long as the lobbyists don't get in there and make a bunch of changes and make it, as effective and a non-effective piece of legislation. But I'll keep a lookout for some more information on this, and if I find out, I'll bring it to you, of course. All right, there's a zero-day flaw reported in Windows Media Player. Surprise, surprise, surprise. The Windows Media Player library WMVCore.dll contains a potential exploitable heat buffer overflow. So, what is it? It's like Windows Media Player has a zero-day flaw about like every 2 weeks. this was over on Intel Admin. It's a Windows IT news and tips and software site. So a link will be up in the show notes. I'm a little bit irritated with one site. There's a site that I use. It's called Newgie, newgie.com. And you go through there and they'll have links to stories, and I'll click on something. And then it'll open, they'll keep their header marker across the top, they'll keep their URL, and then they put the actual article in a frame, just drives me nuts when companies do that, because it just makes it much, much harder for me when I'm getting ready to do the show notes to go and find the actual direct link, because I don't want to have to, you know, drive you guys to a secondary source for information. I always try to find the original source by, and I try to attribute where it came from. But anyway, this will be up in the show notes. And if you haven't checked out newgie.com, you can do that as well. And got a pretty good resource, and I usually get a few articles off it from time to time. But it definitely has a problem in using it in FeedDemon. The website seems to give some errors from time to time. All right, the RIAA, not surprisingly, has mischaracterized a letter received from America Online. There's a RIAA case against a New York woman who has multiple sclerosis, who said she had never heard of file sharing until the RIAA came knocking on her door. And the RIAA had responded and said that they had a letter from AOL confirming that the person owned an internet access account through which copyrighted sound recordings were downloaded. But apparently, when her lawyer got a copy of the actual letter, it didn't have that exact statement. So they went back to the judge. It just goes to show you that if you don't try to protect yourself and you let this company or this group or this organization, if you're served by them, you better get legal representation, because they will try to run you over and they'll do everything in their possible power to get you to pay without going to trial. And it just smells really, really bad. And we got more bad smell stuff from the RIAA today as well. Remember that gentleman, that college student who created the website that created a boarding pass? Well, it appears that the Justice Department cleared him of any wrongdoing, but the Indiana University student is now under investigation by the Transportation Security Administration, and they have listed him on the government's no-fly list, so this kid can no longer get on an airplane and go somewhere. They saying that he has violations which may carry fines up to $11,000 per violation. So we'll see what the TSA does with this. You know, obviously, this is a wake-up call for anyone that's trying to circumvent or even provide a site that is done as a semi-joke of sorts, or trying to bring attention to a security flaw. It definitely has some chilling effect on it. Now, obviously, I don't agree with the way he did that. He could have done, he could have created a website and put something up that made it very clear what the concern was without actually making a boarding pass generator. And I think that's where it's really going to get him if he ends up having to pay a fine or something, or even gets prosecuted by TSA. It could get real ugly for him. But, you know, here it is. He's, you know, this kid's career is destroyed. He can't fly. One little mistake. What do you guys think on this? Do you think do you think the government's overreacting? Do you think he's getting what he deserves? Do you think that they should have just slapped his hand a little more? Do you think he deserves to be on a government no-fly list? You know, it's interesting to see that he made a new fly list. He's obviously not a threat to an aircraft. He tried to portray a security issue within the system. And maybe they feel embarrassed and they're overreacting and slapping him down. So we will see. That is for sure. All right. Apparently, there's a person that got sued by the RIAA who is now filing a class action suit against Kazaa. And she says that Kazaa should have not allowed her to download MP3s. You know, that reminds me of the going somewhere and getting a cup of coffee and then having the coffee spill on you and getting burned and then saying, your coffee was hot, so I'm going to sue you because it was hot. You know, I was on, had visited New York a number of years ago, and we were at, had went on the Staten Island ferry, and I had gotten burnt real bad on a cup of coffee. And that cup of coffee was probably, you know, I'm not the suing type, but it burnt me pretty bad. It was boiling. It was obviously too hot. But if you ever go on the Staten Island Ferry and you get a cup of coffee there, be very, very careful. It is just absolutely scalding hot. Okay, let me move on here. All right, looks like the BitTorrent folks have purchased uTorrent. So that's an interesting combination. So they went out there and joined forces. And glad to see that the uTorrent folks' work has paid off. And we're going to be interesting seeing what happens there, if that's going to fold up together. Some of the people are not real happy with it. And because, you know, the BitTorrent folks have been really working hard to clean up some of the BitTorrent stuff that's out there as far as trying to knock down the amount of illegal file sharing that's going on. But the uTorrent folks, if you read through this, I'm going to link this up in the show notes. If you read through the actual forum announcement, you know, forum announcements look good. And the first 4, 5, 10, 15 responses are, oh, I'm out of here now. So we'll see what happens with this combination. And any of you that use uTorrent, what do you think? What do you think about BitTorrent buying them? Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? All right, there's, of course, if you've been watching the space news as well, you probably have heard already that it looks like they may have found some evidence of water flowing on Mars. And I don't know why they weren't thinking of this before. This is a pretty common way to detect change, is that they went through and re-imaged certain spots that they were suspect. You know, they've looked at some gullies and some valleys and some areas that looked like could have been trenches or so forth. They went through and re-imaged those, and lo and behold, an image that was shot in 2001 is just a typical Mars shot. But then you go back and you look at 2005 picture that was taken almost from the same exact aspect. It's a little different. If you look at the angle, it's just a little bit different off, a little bit different. But it really looks like where something has come out of the water, come out of the soil and run down. It really looks like this could be water. Now, you don't know if it could have been a rock but it just doesn't look like it could have been some soil that shifted. It looks like someone has poured a bucket of water on the ground and it's run down. Very exciting. This is very exciting news. And, you know, I almost just, you know, the way you look at everything here with what's going on with Mars, what they found so far, there's got to be water there. Now, how deep it is, that's a different question. But the next question is, how do you load a drilling rig up and get it to Mars? Or is this stuff so close to the surface that they don't have to go down too far? That's the question. So this opens up some serious possibilities, and we'll see what happens with this finding. But I'm sure this will become a primary target or primary go-to place at some point if they decide to send a mission to Mars. You know, if you're going to send someone there and you need water on a long-term basis. But the question is, would that water ever be safe for consumption? Would they be able to filter it enough? Because who knows what is in, you know, what kind of microbes or, you know, if there is microbes, that's pretty exciting. But what, you know, what are the aspects of, you know, actually being able to utilize that water without having it kill us just because of the different immunities that our bodies have. So we'll see what happens. Probably not. Well, maybe in our maybe in my lifetime. I don't know. We'll keep our fingers crossed. I'd like to see him go to Mars for sure. Be awful expensive, but I think it'd be worth it in the long run. Now, what's kind of funny is I somehow have gotten on a list, and I get at least an email every day from some company saying, hey, we've got a new DVD release. We'd like to send you a pre-release of the DVD. You can check it out. You'll get the copy. It'll be in your hands 2 weeks before it goes in stores. We'd like to send those out to you for review. Well, I don't do DVD reviews at Geek News Central. So I really never, you know, I respond back nicely saying that we don't do that. And thank you for the offer anyway. But apparently a lot of people get those. And a lot of people go out and, you know, they write DVD reviews after they're watching the movies, etc. But it appears a lot of those people that get those movies also go ahead and share them with a friend and who may burn them, and that's how they end up on some of these torrent sites as zero-day releases. And, of course, what the MPAA and these other press firms, et cetera, are doing is they're embedding code now on each of the DVDs being sent so that they know when they come up on these torrent sites who the DVD originally was sent to. So they do something within the actual encryption of the, or in the embedding of the actual DVD. So they went after a gal that was a secretary or something in a company, and they're boasting on how, you know, they've gotten her arrested and all this different types of things that they're going to do to her. But if you think about it, it's pretty ridiculous, though, because as soon as they send out one DVD as a pre-release, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, if they send out 10 or 100, one of them is going to get copied and put up on the net. It's going to happen, and it does. And this is, they've worked real hard at getting that locked down. But based upon the magnitude of this and having to, you know, they send out 1,000 DVDs for reviews, something's going to get out at some point from somewhere. And they're trying to really crack down. And this is their announcement. Oh, they're real happy about this. But as long as they're sending out free DVDs, nothing's going to stop the zero-day from getting out. It's just not going to happen. And at this point, I'm kind of thinking, why even bother? You know, because the question, I guess, that needs to be asked is how big is the problem? How many of these, are these DVDs getting 1 million downloads? Are they getting 1,000? Are they getting 100? How many downloads are some of these DVDs are being released getting? You know, is it worth to send an army of lawyers after, 1,000 downloads on a video file, or 10,000? Is it worth it? You know, they're getting free publicity. Now, people are talking about it, talking about the DVDs of their friends, and maybe those people are downloading them or sharing them, too. So maybe it's exaggerating the problem, or exacerbating the problem. Did I say that right? But anyway, there's a good article over on Tech Dirt, and I'll link that up in the show notes. Now, a little word out of China. You know, with the big Blu-ray HD DVD battle that's going on, you know, it's hard to see how it's going to fall out here in the United States. And, you know, there's people in the Blu-ray camp and there's people in the HD DVD camp. It usually falls upon which hardware you currently have. Well, the Chinese have not been real happy with any of these type of set standards that they're going to have to pay licensing fees to. So they've actually created their own HD format in a what's called an EVD player. And they're going to be issuing those. It's going to have a 1080p capability for playback. So it just goes to show you that, you know, China's being smart in that aspect, in that they are saying, hey, we don't want to be in burden to all these companies to have to pay them money for a standard that you guys are battling out, and a standard that we have to pay money for. So interesting to see the Chinese perspective on this. The question will be is, will we ever see an EVD player in anywhere else besides China? And I doubt it. But the Blu-ray players and HD DVD players are starting to make their ways on the scene. Boy, they're just absolutely crazily priced. Honestly, though, how many of you are going to go out and spend $1,000 for a Blu-ray player? If you're going to buy one, please send me an email and tell me why. Are you that big of a video fanatic that you've got to have one? You know, I'm going to wait a while. I'm going to see how it all falls out. Which way do you think it's going to fall out? A lot of people are betting on Blu-ray. That's for sure. All right, let's keep on moving on here. Already covered that already. This is an article I actually did not review that I had up. Mac games, what to look for in 2007. If you are if you have a Mac and you're a gamer. There's some new games are going to be coming out for the Mac. I'm not going to go through these. I'll link these up in the show notes. If you're interested in that, you can check it out. It's a Mac World article. And so it gives an idea what's forthcoming on the Mac side of the house as far as gaming goes. All right, there's a website out there that I've been playing around a little bit with tonight. It's called searchbots.net. And you can build your own personalized search bot to forge through the endless depths of the internet. It's pretty interesting, quite honestly, and You know, I've been real pleased with the Google search that's been out there, but this is a different spin on things a little bit. So you check this out. I think the site design could have been better. They've come up with this cheesy, I don't know who decided to do this and who came up with this, but you can check it out over at searchbots.net. All right, there's a website out there called quicksilverscreen.com, and they have been ordered by Fox to essentially take the site down. They've also been told they can't sell it to someone. They're going to have to give it away. You know, there's been this a legal threat or some sort of a letter that's been sent to the website owner. And what this guy was doing was I looked at the website. It's nothing super fancy. It's just a regular blog. And the guy is linking, not even bringing in the YouTube video embed image. He's actually physically putting a URL link to a video on some of these video sharing sites that would have Fox content or different stories that was obviously copyrighted. So Fox has basically said, hey, you're linking to copyrighted material. You cannot do that. You need to take this site down. You know, you're in violation of the DMCA. And there are some provisions in the DMCA that, and there is some case law, sadly, that prevents people from, if you knowingly link to a copyrighted piece of material that's been put on by a non-authorized person. Now, if you link to it probably directly to the Fox site, and it's got that clip, you're probably okay. But if you link to something that's been captured by an individual, then put on YouTube, you know, why doesn't Fox go after the people that are putting it on YouTube versus going after this guy that's linking to it? They're still getting exposure. It's still got the Fox logo all over the video. They don't strip that. You know, honestly, I think Fox is making a big mistake. They don't realize that there are people out there that are really psyched about their content, and they take clips from, you know, from their sites or from their programming and put it up and say, hey, look at this, you know, and we make, you know, that's great for those of us that don't have a lot of time. We want to see a short clip on something that someone has found. But I think this is a bad move by Fox, but I guess they're within their right to do that. But this guy that has this quicksilverscreen.com, he is just absolutely devastated about this. I'll have a link up to it in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Let me know what you think about what Fox has done here. Do you think this is, was this a right move? Or does this, you know, is Fox trying to get a precedent set here in order to go after a lot more people? You know, are they going after a small fish first to build some case law? Or what are they, you know, are they expecting this guy to fight? I don't think they're expecting this guy to fight. All right, looks like Dig is going after Dig cheaters, and I think this is totally awesome. We'll see how long it lasts. Apparently, scammers, schemers, and cheaters, watch out. Over 700 people just got caught on Dig. They've got their accounts banned, and there's been some folks out there creating some tools to exploit or cheat social networking sites like Dig, Reddit, and Delicious, and these people are fighting back. One of those sites is called SpikeTheVote.com, has been at the forefront of this issue. So we'll see what happens with how long this becomes, how effective this is, or if these guys are just going to go back to the drawing board and come up with more agents and bots and schemes to, you know, manipulate the actual system. You know, I think right now it's just guys that are really trying to get their stories dug up higher. I don't think a lot of the spammers are into the act yet, but you just wait until the spammers put their mind to going out and abusing these websites. Now, that's something we did with Blueberry. We really put some serious thought into how we were going to avoid this type of abuse, because we're getting ready to introduce some new features on the website that will allow you to essentially hot pick a show, specific show within a, you know, like if you think this show is totally awesome, you'll be able to go over there and you'll be able to hot pick this. And if enough people hot pick the show in a certain way, and you're going to be, we'll give them some front page play so that you guys will be able to find, you know, essentially hot pick shows versus, or episodes, I should say, episodes, not an actual show. So I should differentiate that. Show would be the whole list of shows. Episode would be a single episode. Duh. And so, you know, this is essentially the same issue that Dig has, is you've got individual posts from sites that are being dug up and then people are trying to scam it. You know, and I told the guys we got to be real careful about that implementation. And we actually made it the implementation pretty tight where podcasters, if I say it's my show, I can't actually go to the site and dig my own episode. That's or hot pick it, I guess is what we're calling it. And we're actually kind of looking for a, we're not real happy with the name hot pick. If you go over to the Blueberry site at blueberry.com, and that reminds me of another thing I want to quickly talk about tonight, is you'll notice on the front page of blueberry.com, we have top picks, and we have most recent. Well, top picks is a logarithm of multiple things. Most recent are the most recent shows, and we've actually had some people trying to manipulate that as well, and we've had to go back and redo the code on most recent so that the same shows are not always on the front page of Blueberry. They seem to work it so they know when there's a... Well, anyway, we're fixing it so those guys aren't going to be able to beat that anymore. But we're going to have top picks, most recent, and we're going to call hot picks. Do you guys think hot picks sounds right for, you know, picking episodes that are good? Is there a better word for that? Is that confusing where you've got top picks? And top picks goes to a complete show. Most recent are the, you know, the most recent shows that are being produced within those shows. And then top picks will be the top episodes within specific podcasts. Do you think that's... think that's right? Do you think we've got that mashed up right, or do you think we could have come up with a different name there? I'd really love to hear some feedback from you, because we've kind of pounded our heads against the table a little bit and went back and forth thinking that the wording may be confusing. If you want to help us out with that, you can send me an email, of course, to geeknews@gmail.com. Before I continue on here, I want to go back to an article that I wrote at geeknewscentral.com. Well, anyway, that Dig article I'll link up in the show notes. And then we'll talk about this next thing, is that I'm getting everything, I'm really planning very extensively for the Consumer Electronics Show. And I'm, you know, going to the point where I'm laying out everything that I'm going to have to hump every day down to the convention floor. And the weight is not looking good. I don't want to have to carry 20 pounds of gear. So for those of you that have covered, if any of you have covered a convention or have walked the floor with gear before and done recording or whatever, what are you doing to mitigate having to hump 30 pounds of stuff? My thought process was to buy one of those typical photographer vests, and I'm kind of trying to find one with some really deep pockets because I'd love to be able to stash my video camera, because some of those photographer's vests have deep pockets you can put long lens cameras in. And a video camera will fit in just fine as well. But I'm afraid of, you know, that banging up against your leg all day as you're moving around, or if someone bumps into you, I don't know if that's the best decision or not, or if I should continue to have it in my protective bag and have that on a little trolley. But my idea was to buy a photographer's vest, put all my batteries and stuff in there, my tapes, my digital recorder, have my, I've got a way to string my microphone and all that. How we're, that's all kind of was, I figured that out last year. But the added thing is some sort of a tripod or a monopod, which someone had suggested in the show notes to take along to actually use for shooting video, because I am going to be shooting video. I'm going to be, I don't have a camera crew with me. It's a, you know, I'm a crew of one. Andy McCaskey will be with me, but he'll be off in a different area. We don't stay in the same area as we're covering the floor. It just doesn't make sense to do that. And we don't have, you know, I don't have $5,000 to pay someone to come out to CES and shoot camera for me for the whole time. So, kind of a one man show on that. What do you guys think? Think that, that'll work? Well, that makes sense to have, you know, one of those, and they have what's, the bag I have is a Kata bag, K-A-T-A, a real nice, a bag for cameras. But they send us put like a little trolley for them, the same type of stuff you used to see for like bags and stuff would go on. Do you think that makes sense, or would that just is that just going to slow me down? Should I just tough it out and sling the camera over my shoulder and keep on moving? It's a tough gig. It really, really is. That's a big event. But if you got any ideas to make it so I'm not such a tired dog at the end of the day, I'd love to hear it. That's for sure. All right. Seems like I'm on this RIAA kick today. Boy, we're already 49 minutes. RIAA has moved to reduce artist royalty payments. Now, not only are they going out and suing people, but they have petitioned Congress to change the law so that they can reduce the amount of money that they pay artists. Is that just disgusting? You know, how greedy are they going to get? That's the key. Now, on the opposite front, EMI is announcing today, or has announced, that they're going to start selling some DRM-free music. Now, I don't know how big of a library they're going to sell that's DRM-free, but this is this is an amazing announcement. And I'll be honest with you, if there's a service that comes out that's legal, that sells DRM-free music that I can move between all my players, I will be a big customer of that service. I will be a big customer, but I don't want any DRM. If it's got DRM, I'm not going to buy stuff from them. But I'm going to have to start looking at EMI's library and seeing what they're offering up DRM-free. We will see. We'll see what happens here. And they haven't really announced who... what services are going to make it available, but this is good news. All right, I want to let you know I went out and picked up, I talked with the Sprint rep earlier this week, and they let me know that the Novatel U720 USB modem was actually on sale. So we went ahead and I changed my order up, and I actually have got one of these U720 USB modems coming now. It's in shipment. So these have just been released, and these are pretty awesome. Unfortunately, there's no Mac drivers for it yet, but pretty sexy. And this is a good thing because there's a lot of laptops being made right now that no longer have a PCMCIA port. So this is a Rev-A card. If you haven't seen this yet, if you're looking to get EVDO, you'll definitely want to look at this Novatel U720 USB modem. And from everything I've heard and read so far, it's got an external antenna port. It got some pretty positive reviews on it. So, and it also will work with the Kasera. I've just read tonight, and I'm like, thank you, because I was a little bit worried about that. It'll work with those Kasera KR1 routers as well, so which I have one of those. I was worried about losing that capability of using that. All right, over to Gizmodo, they've got a chart up which Vista is right for you. If you're looking to upgrade to Vista, I'll go ahead and just link this up in the show notes. You can read this. It kind of gets you through a little matrix. Makes it real easy for you to pick the version that you're going to go with. So check that out. I got another link up on Gizmodo. It says, what does Firefox look like with 200 extensions? And I don't know why anybody did this, but this guy decided he was going to go ahead and load 200 extensions on Firefox. It seemed to work out great and took a little bit to load, but wait till you see this graphic. And I had talked about this on the website earlier in the week, so you guys can check that out. All right, over on TechCrunch, Dig is celebrating their second year anniversary. And today, there's a little bit of stats here. Number of stories submitted the first week were 923. Number of stories submitted last week were 15,412. Number of stories submitted all time is 1,865 with 707,000 registered users. That's just simply amazing. Haven't checked this out yet, but I hear there's a new AIM out. It's called AIMShare is like AIM. It allows you to use AIM plus delicious.com, and I don't know exactly what's going on there. But I need to really look at this. Hey, is anyone that listens to this show work for AOL? I have a AIM name that I cannot recover. I would love some help from someone at AOL. If you want to give me some love, help me recover one of my usernames. For some reason, it's tied. I know what email address it's tied to, but the email address never gets the password reset. So is anybody out there can help me out on that? Send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. But I'll link this up. This came from Jason Calacanis's log. All right, final article of the... Actually, I got two articles. Final two articles of the night. Had to laugh. You know, there's... if you go to the White House, you know, you want to look nice and presentable. Well, it appears that a Christmas gala that was held there, four women showed up in the same exact dress. The first lady was in the same dress as well as three other ladies, and there were these $8,500 red gowns. Can you imagine how embarrassing that is for everyone to be in the same dress? You know, and that just makes you, I'm sure those ladies just grit their teeth, but you know, they're looking for a red dress and see who could outdo each other, and they all spent $8,500 each. I'm sure the first lady got hers for free. I think that's how that works. They have to give that stuff back, but they definitely all look the same. Kind of funny. All right, over on Microsoft Team RSS blog, they're talking about enclosure downloads, and I left a comment over there. Hello, Microsoft. What are you guys thinking? Limiting some enclosure downloads to 15 megs. Why are you still using Bits, the background intelligent transfer service? Haven't you been listening to all of us and how we, all of us that are serving up content, hate that Bits transfer service? It's causing all kinds of problems. Talk to the community, please, 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 please. And if you just read this article, and then you can look through the comments that are left there, and you'll get an idea. But who over there is making these decisions? That is the question I have. Who's doing this? You know, it's got to be their way or the highway, right? Oh gosh. All right, I got some voicemail comments. I've got a gaming review tonight we're going to do. Let's go ahead and I haven't pre-done these. Two of these look like the same length, so I may have two audio comments that are the same. Let me go ahead and play the first one here.
Hey, Doug. Scott from Tucson. And I just got done watching your video cast last night, and I thought it was pretty well done. And I, too, noticed the stretched head. And listening to your latest podcast, you said that you recorded it in 16:9 format. And then later in the podcast, you said you were trying to get into an iPod format. I think that's why you got all stretched, because as far as I know, iPods don't do a widescreen format. So that it probably squished it into, 4x3 or whatever, the regular resolution that it uses.
320 by
and
something.
And that could be the problem. And I actually have a question after looking at your podcast setup and stuff. I've been thinking of doing a podcast for a while, and the only thing that's been holding me back is I've been trying to find a way to include bumpers and all that other stuff inside the show without having to go back in and edit and everything and add them in. I know Audition can capture the audio from iTunes or from Winamp, but is there any way that you can do that with Audacity? I've been trying to figure it out, and he's the only one I accept audio from one source at a time. Anyway, just thought I'd ask you what your opinions are. So I'll see you later.
Hey, on that, it's real simple. If you're using a Windows machine, all you have to do is go into your audio, just click on the little speaker on your desktop, or go into the audio settings within Control Panel, and what you want to do is select what you hear. If you've got a what you hear selection on there, what that does is anytime the computer dongs or makes a noise, you know, if there's a, it'll pick up all that audio and internally and put it on the track. So there's also a selection within Audacity as well, but on mine it says what you hear. You may have to play a little bit around with it, but let me look here. If I open this up real quickly, click on that, bring that up. If you go into options, properties, recording, and then let me look on this one. This is the actual machine I'm recording on. Hopefully this won't mess this up. We'll know here in just a second. Options, properties, recording. Yeah, in recording, I have a selection that says what you hear, and that's what I have selected under recording control. But again, you got to go options, properties, recording, hit OK, and that brings up the menu for the actual what's going to go down on the track. All right, next audio comment.
Hi, Todd. This is Tracy Taylor. I heard on last, I guess it was last Saturday, not last Saturday night, but Saturday before, that you know, you called me the Christmas Come Early winner, and I sent an email, but I didn't get any response.
Oh, you're the man.
You know, cut out by some spam filter somewhere, and you didn't think I responded at all.
Hey, Tracy, I'm glad you called. I hope that your email's in there. Send me another email. I'll do a search now, and maybe I'll be able to find you. You were the one I was talking about at the beginning of the show. I am glad you called the voicemail. I really, really am. And I'll listen to this after the rest of this after the show. Thanks for that. Thanks for calling in, for sure.
Hey, Todd, just wanted to let you know it's pronounced Azurus, not Azurus. This is Lloyd from West Covina, California, just calling to let you know.
I'm going to have to listen to that again. What did you say?
Hey, Todd, just wanted to let you know it's pronounced Azurus, not Azurus.
Oh.
This is Lloyd from West Covina, California, just calling to let you know.
All right, thanks for that. I appreciate that. All right, we're at an hour here. Let's see here. Let me go into, we're going to play the gaming review at the end. Let me go into show comments. I got an email from, this is actually a guy that's coming out to Hawaii. Hey, I've got a bunch of links from people who sent me some stuff to check out. I'll have these up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Keith. I got an email from James talking about Nimic being a BitTorrent capable podcatcher. I was aware of that. I'll put that link up in the show notes as well. So if any of you are looking for a BitTorrent capable podcatcher, Nimic is a good one out there. I got an email from JP. Thanks for that. I'll put that up in the link. I want to thank Tom for sending an email saying, talking about wondering if there was any type of a fund for the family for Mr. Kim, who passed away. Got an email from Steve and Shauna. Thanks for your entry on the essentially looking for the podcast gear giveaway. And hopefully you guys will get your show off the ground. Also, I did not put the link to the actual cellular amplifier that I purchased. I did not get that in the show notes. I had gotten an email from Steven on that. And Steven, I'll have that up in the show notes today. Got an email from John talking about a little bit about the possibility of some of these music companies starting to release music without DRM. I got an email from Eric Schwartzman. And they're going to be creating doing a course at UCLA's Extensions. I guess that's a campus. They're going to be doing a course on blogs, podcasts, and social media this January. So if any of you are looking to get up to speed on how to integrate new media into PR and marketing campaigns, this could be an opportunity for you. The course consists of 5 classes and meetings over 5 weeks, and sessions are going to be held between January 24th and February 21st. Oh, it's at Dodd Hall on UCL's main campus. I have a link up to this in the show notes. There's going to be Phil Gomes of Edelman. I'd like to ask him some questions. Sally Falcaw of Expansion Plus. Tim Borkin of Podcast Expo. And let's see, who else? Some people of LA Times. Anyway, I'll put a link up in the show notes. Any of you in L.A. may want to check this out. Also, Todd, this is from Randall. No one ever mentions this, so maybe you can do an article or mention it on your podcast. If all versions of Windows will be on one DVD, how do you get a 64-bit key versus 32-bit? I know when I upgrade, I want the 64-bit version of Vista. It will be a while before I upgrade, but I'd still like to know. According to this Vista test app Microsoft has, I can run Vista Business. All right, I know we got some Microsoft people out there that listen to this show. Maybe they can give us an answer on the 32-bit/64-bit key issue installing with DVD. All right, I got a very funny email from Neil. He says, "Hey, Todd, that's not a skull. It's a stormtrooper helmet. Was Mars once an outpost for the rebellion?" I tell you, Neil, it's pretty funny, but that's in reference to the skull that was on show number 222 that we talked about that actually had been reported earlier in the year. But I love his sense of humor. It's very, very cool. Thanks, Neil. Got an email from David. He said, "Todd, on the game review you have that is 9 minutes, I think that you should include the audio file as a separate audio file in your GNC feed. That way, that anyone who listens to the game review, they can listen to the file, and the others don't. That do not play games do not have to listen. Love your podcast. Keep up the work. Been here since show 50. It is also my top three podcasts ever stranded on an island would be GNC, Buzz Out Loud, and Mike Tech Show. And he says, I always download your show on my Pocket PC iPack H3955 using the Egress software first thing on the morning of the release and listen right away. And thanks for David for being a long-term listener to the show. Definitely appreciate it. I got an email from David. Hey, he said, hey, Todd, an open source media player will work fine, except that since MP3, WMA, and AAC are all proprietary formats and require licenses, it would only play OGG Vorbis. You could load it with all your RIP music, but only a few podcasts would work without recoding. That's interesting. That's definitely something that team will have to think out about. Okay, I want to thank John for the video tips, and thanks for the idea on carrying a monopod. Also, he talked about, lastly, he believes that iRiver American manufactures an open-source MP3 player, at least supports open-source format. They have a couple of units, the T30 TAC 1G, 1 gig is a great unit that supports voice recording, recording from any source and plays WMA, MP3, and OGG formats, the iRiver MP3 as well as video on MPEG-4, Flash, and JPEG images. At $170, it isn't a bad deal either. And also, John, we should have gotten back with you on that other issue as well. If you haven't gotten an email from Angelo, let me know, because he was supposed to send you something. All right, I'm going to go ahead and kick off this game review, and I'd like to hear you guys' feedback if you want to hear more of this. Kind of got the guy that's doing these. He's kind of on tap to determine whether he's going to do these on a long-term basis or not. I'm putting it at the end of the show because, you know, typically we haven't covered gaming here before, and this is kind of a new segment we're going to open up into. This is going to take me real long tonight, but we'll play that here. But, of course, you can send your email comments to geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. I'll be back with you after the gaming review.
Hello, everybody. This is Tommy Abbott here from theopenfloor.com. The game we're going to be reviewing tonight is Gears of War. It's put out by Epic Games, and it is by far the best game that I've bought in years. You start out as a soldier, and his name is Marcus Fenix, and he's been in trouble for disobeying orders in the past, and you actually start out in the prison, and somebody comes to break you out, and you actually see these strange-looking, nasty creatures. And that kind of leads me into the storyline here for this game. It actually has an excellent storyline. They don't reveal too much to you, so you know that there's going to be a sequel. But it definitely flows well. It's not one of these games where you're just running around shooting things and you have no real purpose and there's no storyline behind it. You start out, you're on this planet called Sarah. And the humans have been fighting each other there, and eventually they have to come together and fight this enemy called the Locust Horde, who they burrow up through the ground and create these emergence holes, and they start to pour out of there, and they just have devastated the whole planet, all the cities and everything. It was a great civilization, and now it's all ruined. And everybody had to retreat back to this plateau, where there was lots of rock underneath of them, so they felt they were safe. And finally, the Locust Horde, has burrowed its way up through that plateau, and they're starting to attack the humans again. So one of these soldiers comes and breaks you out of the prison, and so starts the story. And like I said, this is the best game that I have played, and I can't remember how long. And it's been such a well-received game. Everybody has given it just excellent reviews, nearly perfect reviews. And it actually surpassed Halo 2 in the rankings for most games played on multiplayer on Xbox Live. And that leads me into the multiplayer options that you have with this game. The best one is being able to play cooperatively through the campaign and still get your achievements. The cool thing about this, normally you have to play through a campaign by yourself, and you're dependent upon the AI to help you out, and really it's very lacking. Most of the times the AI can't give it orders and have it cooperate with you, whereas with humans you can interact and you can develop some sort of strategy together. So it's really cool that they allow you to play together through that, and you still get your achievements. You're not penalized for playing through with a friend. And it works really well. It's seamless. It's excellent. There's also some other multiplayer options, you know, the traditional multiplayer modes of execution and deathmatch and things like that. And the maps are small, so they limit the size of the teams, I think, to, I believe it's the most that can be in a game at a time is a 4-versus-4 situation, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's just so well balanced that it just plays so well. I've played a little bit through that. You have a couple of levels of difficulty, and there's achievement points for each, and if you play on a higher difficulty, then you get your achievement points for the lower difficulty setting as well. The other cool thing about this game is the camera work that they do. When you start to take off to run for a piece of cover to hide from bullets and enemies, you get to have the camera work look like from the movie Saving Private Ryan, where it's really shaky, and that's really cool. And there's emphasis on taking cover in this game, otherwise you're going to get your head shot off. And you can actually shoot blindly around the object you're hiding behind, or you can actually peek up or around it and take an aimed shot at your enemy as well. And it really, you have to take cover. This is not some game where you're going to be able to stand there and take hits and get through it. And you actually can take damage. It's similar to Halo 2, where you can take damage and it'll indicate how much you've taken. And if you take cover and wait a couple seconds, you'll recover that damage and you'll be ready to go again. And the best weapon out of the game by far, everybody gets a kick out of it, is the chainsaw on the end of your machine gun called the Lancer. And you can if you get into some sort of hand-to-hand combat or up close and personal combat, you're able to hack your enemy in half and cut off his limbs with this chainsaw, and it's just awesome the way the blood squirts up on the camera. It's just beautiful.
Tommy, I don't think that's
this game
safe.
Is so stunning with the graphics, but it's not just the graphics that are great. The gameplay is wonderful, and so is the storyline. That's all I have to say about Gears of War. I'm gonna wrap this up. I've gone a little over my allotted time space here. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you later.
Thanks, Tommy, for that. And sounds like that is definitely a mature audience game. And for those of you that are parents out there, make sure you review that before you get it for your kids. Anyway, I think that's it. We're really long. But anyway, send your feedback tonight, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Congratulations to all our winners. We'll see you as scheduled on Tuesday. Everyone have a great weekend. Take care. Aloha.